Lord, help us to realize just how close you are to us. You're always close to us. You're never far away. And yet so often we take you for granted. We get so preoccupied with all the things that we think we've got to get done. Help us to realize this day that it's being with you that you desire the most, not us doing things for you, but rather just being with you. So, Father, this day, help us to be with you. And in that process, help us to go deep, very deep, so that we can know you more intimately than we've ever done before. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever wanted to do a do-over? I'm not talking about your whole life. You know, I remember growing up when I was a kid, you know, I mean, when you'd go, one, twice, three, shoot, you know, if you lost. Do-over, you know, if you got that out first, you always then had to do it again. If you flipped a coin, you had to do it again. A do-over. What's it mean? It's mostly used, I think, probably in just little childish games or you know, sports maybe. But a do-over, sometimes we look at ourselves. When you've had a discussion with somebody who you really want to be close to, but you handled it so lousy. Can't we do this over again? You know, I had to be reminded of that when I read the epistle for today. The epistle's interesting because it reads from Ephesians. It says, be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. If you translated that right from the Greek, and you didn't sort of weave it together in a translation, but took it literally from the Greek, it would read like this. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Walking in life. That's how biblically you usually refer to things, is walking with God, walking with life, walking through things. But redeeming the time, to me, speaks much louder than making the most of the time. Redeeming the time. It's almost like a do-over, isn't it? Redeeming. Somehow taking back what wasn't sort of done quite right and trying to do it over again. Somehow molding and shaping it. And that the days are evil. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, we live in a broken world, and so every day, you know, you have a choice. How are you going to live your life in this situation, in every situation? How are you going to live it? Are you going to take it sort of the easy way out and sort of move in a direction that doesn't fulfill what God would want? Are you going to kind of just muddle through? Are you going to, you know, take it to where all of a sudden you say to yourself, you know, oh, it really doesn't matter. I can get away with this one. Or do you redeem that time, even if nobody's looking? How do you redeem time? You know, I was trying to work on an analogy that really fit what I think this is getting at. And to be honest with you, the thing that came up that was most clear of what this means is an old movie that came out in 1993. You might remember, it was a Bill Murray movie. It was called Groundhog Day. How many of you ever watched that movie? In this movie, Groundhog Day, Bill Murray plays a weatherman. His name is Phil Connors. He's an egocentric jerk. He works with Rita, his producer, and Larry, the cameraman. And their job is to go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which is the home of St. Francis College, by the way, and go to Punxsutawney and film the groundhog coming out. You know, are we going to have more weeks of winter or more weeks, you know, or is it going to get warm? What's it going to do? Well, Phil Connors, Bill Murray, you know, is just obnoxious. I mean, he doesn't want to be there. These are hicks. I don't want to deal with these hicks. I want to get in. I want to get out. That's all there is to it. I just want this over with. Let me go in there. I mean, he refers to Phil, you know, the groundhog, as a little rat. You know, he said, well, a little rat comes out and then goes back in. And he's really sarcastic in every way he can think of. Well, his whole life is just one filled with sarcastic, you know, egocentric humor. The world revolves around him. But all of a sudden, what happens? They're in Punxsutawney. They should get out that same day. But a blizzard blows in. And they get stunk in Punxsutawney. And for somehow, in a weird, weird way, he doesn't travel back in time, but he gets hung up in a time loop. A time loop in the movie. And he repeats Groundhog Day over and over again. At first he said, well, I can take advantage of this. This will be great. I mean, he just sort of makes fun of other people, and he uses it in his same own personality that he's always had. And, you know, I mean, if he sees a pretty girl, he learns about as much as he can about her the day before so that, you know, the next day when he sees her, he can say all the right things and then maybe get his way with her. He does that over and over again, and he tries to make fun and ignore people. He actually causes other people to have, you know, mistakes made because he knows what's going to come. He gets bored with it after a while, though. The simple pleasures bore him, and he says, how am I going to get out? The only way I can get out of it is, well, I'll commit suicide. I'll die. Well, he tries to blow himself up, shoot himself, cut himself, you name it, every way that you can think that you could die, he tries to do it. But you know what? He's still stuck in Groundhog Day, and he can't die. He almost thinks of himself as, I am a god, not the god, but a god. And he's stuck in this time loop. He doesn't know how to get out of it. Then all of a sudden, after he gets bored with simple pleasures and bored with trying to commit suicide, he decides, you know, maybe what I ought to do is make myself better. Make myself a better, you know, have better behavior. He sees his producer, Rita, who's an attractive woman who is just so kind. She's just so nice. And he says, you know, I'm going to get to know her because she knows how to be a good person. And he works real hard on it. But as he tries to work on getting to know Rita so he can be a better person, to tell you the truth, she becomes more and more attractive to him. And pretty soon he just wants to get her, you know, in, up to his room in his bed and breakfast to go to bed with her. And at one point when they're up there after that day, she realizes what's going on. She goes, is this all just for, you know, one thing? That's what you have been set up all day? And she realizes when she asks him that his understanding of love is tricking in someone else into liking you so you can get what you want from him. He comes to an epiphany at that point, and he realizes that, you know what, I can't live this way any longer. I can't live this way. And so I'm really going to try and be a better person, not just have better behavior. And he begins to work on himself. He learns how to play the piano. Of course, you're in the same day. You learn the same thing over and over again, but you can change it. And every day, you learn more and more and more and more. He starts to care for the people who he sees every day. He knows them by name now. He knows all about them. He realizes that they all have their own stuff, and he tries to be kind to them at every turn. He moves deeper and deeper into a place where, to tell you the truth, he's not just changed, you know, his behavior. His heart begins to change. Comes to one place where Rita finally says, I really like this guy. And he has to look at her and say, you know, I'm going to have to take a rain check on being with you because I got to help somebody else do something. They're going to have a flat tire, and I know about it, so I got to take care of it. You see, he moves from a place, because he has the day over and over and over again, to where he actually looks to become what he's supposed to be rather than the selfish jerk that he's been. His motives begin to change. So many of us try and change our behavior. You know, well, that's the right thing to do. But how many of us change our motives behind our behavior? I mean, think about it. Somebody calls you, you don't really like them. You know, you're like, oh, man. They call you, they get you on the phone, and they're just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. You set the phone down sometimes, walk around the room, come back, pick it up. Oh, yeah, I heard every word you said. You know, how many times, you've heard me say this a million times, but you know, where somebody calls you, you know you got to return the phone call, but you pray, God, please, let me get an answering machine before they answer. You move through the hoops, and you do the right things, but do you do them in an authentic and genuine way, or do you do it in a way just to look like you're doing good behavior? See, God says to redeem the time. Redeeming time may mean that the relationships you have may not fully change back to where they were, and it's not like everything goes away, but redeeming time means that you utilize the time so you become the person you should be. I don't know about you, but you know, I got a lot of years under my belt. There are a lot of years that I used to just be a selfish jerk. And that's probably in the last week. But there are many times too where I think and I've hoped where all of a sudden I've learned how to trust God a little bit more, lived in a little bit more authentic and genuine way, and somehow I've redeemed the time of my life, not fallen into the evil days. To do that means you have to be intentional. It's actually looking more at the reason why you do things than the very things that you do. I mean, all of us were probably raised in families where, well, you do this, you be polite, even if you don't want to. You know, I always laugh that when Sally looks at me sometimes and wants me to go to something that I don't want to go to, she'll look at me and she'll say, now, you know, I want you to go to this, you know, concert. And I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. And then she'll look at me and say, well, I don't want you to just go to it. I want you to like it. And my response usually is, you know, you're worse than God. He just wants me to do it most of the time. But I think I've been wrong saying that, because the truth of the matter is I think God wants me to, in a sense, change my attitude, change my motive. A.W. Tozer once said, what makes something holy isn't so much what you do, it's why you do it. And that's really what it means to become what God wants you to be. It's where you utilize every moment of your life, redirecting the motives of your life. Not just to try and figure out a way to get it done, check it off the list, and move on. But why do you do what you do? It happens in the little stuff. I mean, the very little stuff. You guys maybe not be in a time loop, but I guarantee you all have routines that you do every day. How many of you do those routines in a way where it's not just to check it off the list and get it done? Everything from getting up in the morning and maybe making the coffee to putting out the garbage. But you do it saying, no, wait a second. I'm not just going to go and do these simple things just for the sake of doing them. What's my motive behind doing them? Is my motive good? Am I kind to the people that are there, or do I just simply try and get by? Do I try and slide in front of somebody else because that'll make my job a little bit easier? Or do I actually try and honor the people that cross my path? You might not live in a time loop, but you do have a calling to redeem the time. What does Paul say? Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. If you want to pass something on to your kids and your grandkids, live in an authentic way. One thing I've learned over the years is kids can see a phony miles away. They know when you're not doing something right, and they may say, oh, I love my grandfather, I love my mom, I love my grandfather and mother, you know, whatever. They all love you, but to tell you the truth, they know when you're not genuine. And God calls us to be authentic. God calls us to be genuine, which means that we are congruent, that our head and our heart and our behaviors are all one. As you come to the Eucharist day, I pray that you come knowing that God is with you and God is in you, that you walk with him. But remind yourself also that he walks with you. It's in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand with me. We believe in one God.